humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. Allegedly. I am Dan.
From the internet. I am Sean from the, not internet.
From the gym.
Yeah.
You're gym guy.
No, I'm not gym guy.
You're not gym guy, but you're a gym guide, let's say.
Guide.
Guide. This is going to be an interesting week. We have...
Episode 101?
Yes, episode 101. We're just joking.
Fallout. Right on.
This is How Not to Get Bleeped, the advanced course level. We're just jumping into the three-digit episodes now. We have Lil Nas X. This is, this is going to get saucy a little bit, but not too much. We have Lil Nas X's debut EP that dropped this week, so we can listen to that. Is he a one-hit wonder or not? Let's find out. We have False Alarm by Two Door Cinema Club. We have A Bathful Ecstasy by Hot Chip, and we have Help Me Stranger by The Raconteurs. We have a lot of music this week, and we have a lot of music next week because we have the Black Keys coming. Tom York happened to have announced an album dropping that is coming next week, and we have Freddie Gibbs and Madlib to kind of round out this month, and then we'll have the Song of the Summer bonus episode after that, which will be very exciting. Also, if you haven't listened to episode 100, what are you doing? And if you haven't listened to the XXXTentacion bonus episode that we did, it's been a year since that happened, what are you doing?
And listen to the original XXXTentacion video where we may have been a little saucy and may have laughed at his death a little bit.
Yeah. So anyways, let's get into a little bit of news. So we don't have exactly a single, let's say, but we have a little bit of when music and culture and politics kind of collide with each other. So there were a panel on reparations in the United States Congress this week on whether or not to give African-Americans and other minority groups that have been manifest destinied any sort of money or descendants of them, any sort of like financial reparations, if you will. And so there are arguments for and against, and even this isn't like actual policy, like, are we going to vote on reparations today or tomorrow? It's just forming a committee to see if we read further into this. But anyways, there was one guy who basically argued against reparations, and he was booed a lot. I'm not going to weigh in either way on how I feel, but the guy who had this case against reparations, his name is Coleman Hughes. He writes for Quillette, which apparently causes Dave Rubin to have, like, brain aneurysms. And apparently, he's also a SoundCloud rapper as well.
On the low.
Because he wrote a song called, quote, My Dick Works. But if you believed it, wouldn't have to repeat it. Like black is beautiful, black is beautiful, black is beautiful. See, the record ain't half as broke as your self-esteem is. And the record ain't half as broke as my fucking penis. That's insecurity 101. The words coming out your mouth, don't believe none of them. The words coming out my mouth, hope you make fun of them. Cause my dick works, my dick. And, of everything that's come on SoundCloud, no pun intended. It could have been a lot worse.
It's just funny.
It's just really weird.
It's like, you know that really weird song, Detachable Penis, back in the day? This is the SoundCloud version of Detachable Penis.
Detachable Penis is a throwback, wow.
Detachable Penis.
It's either that or Show Me Your Genitals.
Oh, the Show Me Your Genitals got a little too bad. Detachable Penis is just funny. My Dick Works is just funny.
I mean, there was... Oh, yeah, I forgot the verses to Show Me Your Genitals. I was just thinking of the chorus, which was fairly G-rated, actually.
Yeah, the rest of the song's like...
At least it's not Discovery Channel, that one song by Bad Touch.
That's a throwback.
By the way, you're welcome. We're reviewing a lot of music, and we think a lot of this music has cultural significance, but we don't think that Gucci Mane's new album has cultural significance, so we're not talking about that. We don't think Rick Ross's new album has cultural significance, so we're not talking about that. And I just want to rant for like 30 seconds. There was Blueface released some new music video or something, the Bust Down Tatiana guy, and he posted about it on Instagram, and someone commented, why do all your songs sound the same? Which is like the Audio Face, that's a true warrior right there.
Whoever that is, I want to fucking put him on the podcast.
Give them an Audio Face award.
Give them an Audio Face award.
The Vince Staples Woke Award. And Blueface responded to that commenter by saying, to be honest, it's just easier. So.
Told you so.
We're not talking
about
that.
Don't tell me my playlist name isn't right.
You've got a lot of playlist names that are kind of on point, but we're now going to be talking about Lil Nas X. He released
his
first EP. It's called 7 EP, literally. There's 8 songs on it, asterisk. It's about 16 minutes long, asterisk. I say asterisk because there's 2 versions of Old Town Road on it. The original one comes at the end, and the remix with Billy Ray Cyrus comes on at the beginning. Yes. This is the artist that trolled Billboard earlier this year in March.
Exactly. Everyone knows who he is at this point.
Yeah, because his song's played ad nauseum. And so, you know, it's gone viral. He's one of the most listened to things. I'm surprised he, along with Tyler, the Creator, hasn't caused DJ Khaled to go into a bitch fit by how successful he is. DJ Khaled isn't. But this is an actual attempt to see what is Lil Nas X about beyond this viral hit.
It's kind of all over the place. In a way, there's 2 songs that are kind of trappy. Like Panini is definitely the straight trap.
Yeah, but I will say there's a very interesting thing in Panini in there. If you look in the song credits, Kurt Cobain is in there because a little bit of Kurt Cobain's vocals are sampled in it.
I did not know that.
Very strange, but it kind of goes to what you're saying is that there's a little bit of everything in here.
There's like pop, like electro pop. In here, there's a song of Cardi B, which is kind of a similar to Old Town Road, where it uses Western themes in trap. If I took you everywhere, then well, you wouldn't know how to walk. If I spoke on your behalf, then well, you wouldn't know how to talk. If I gave you everything, and everything is what I bought, I can take it all back. I never care about what you thought. Look, gunshot, though you heard about me, must not, last nigga did me dirty, like a bathroom in a truck stop, now my heart, it feels like billow, I'm hard like I'm a dillo, can't be no nigga ex, I could only be his widow, that's a fact. Then it has some other songs that are, let's say like electronic in a way. It's different, he's very eclectic, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Did not expect. I thought it all just to be trap. So like when I heard Panini, I'm like, yay, great. And then Family with a 9 in parentheses, you and me.
Family with a 9 is really like,
it's weird.
The Mr. Burns joke is relevant here. It's, again.
He's an interesting artist because he's not doing everything the same at all. It's different. So I can't hate on it. I wanted to hate on it really bad, but I can't hate on it.
Yeah, and coming into Panini, I kind of like figured, okay, I kind of know how this is going to be.
On Panini, I was like, here we go, I'm going to get bleeped. But then Family with a 9, I'm like, wait, what the hell? And then Kick It, the same thing. It's completely different than what I thought it was going to be. Rodeo was kind of similar to Old Town Road, but it wasn't bad because of mixing Western and trap somehow works. Bring You Down is like a pop, kind of a pop tune to it. And then Closure is just a weird song. It's different.
Yeah.
So I can't hit on it.
I mean, like, I felt that some of the songs, even near the end, wouldn't have felt out of, like, tune on the Raconteurs album, which is, like, pretty hard rock.
Yeah, I'm about to say that. I dug up your past and now I know all of your moves. And I got witnesses they missing. I got all of the proof. I'm wondering about you because I got nothing to do. I notice you winning and I got nothing to lose. I don't know what's gonna bring you down. I don't know what's gonna bring you down. I don't know, but I'm gonna bring you down.
Which is just shows versatility and a willing to kind of blend through that. And it means that in the interviews where Lil Nas X was saying that he wants to blend genres and be different, like, he's not bullshitting. This isn't like some of that like SoundCloud rapper wife beater shit. Where it's, oh, he's blending genres, he's so deep, he's so interesting. Like, no, this is actually doing it very well.
Can't pick him.
Yeah, I began the EP believing Lil Nas X to be a one-hit wonder, but he may actually be the musician of our generation. I know that's a very far thing to say, but if you look at star power and you look at what this EP kind of foreshadows, even the cover on it on the front is like him marching to the city. I'm not saying like he's the best, he's the anything like that, but like he's gonna be a sensation if this album's kind of anything.
I mean, that's kind of a given now.
The arbitrary scale this week is extremely arbitrary and extremely poignant because it is current Iranian Ayatollahs because of the war we definitely did not almost get into this week.
We definitely did not start and then end and then start again and then end again.
It's like Donald Trump blowing into the cartridges of the war machine, just trying to make sure it works and resetting it.
This is rough.
I'm going to go with, this is Ayatollah Abbas Kabi Nassab.
This might be one of the stupidest arbitration scores you've ever
This
done.
Is going to be one of the most like regrettable arbitrary scales in a while. Literally, we're just kind of picking from a Wikipedia list and picking names that seem like, you know, that this is probably a good Ayatollah. So I currently detach myself from any responsibility from what this person ever did. But you should just take from what we said, the words we said in their view at face value, because that's the point of the arbitrary scales, in that this is very, very strong. And I was definitely expecting to shit on Lil Nas X with this, but it's perfectly fine.
Mine is Ibrahim Eminini because he's 93 years old and his signature just looks like a blurred out image on the CIA.
No, his signature looks like a canoe, honestly. A canoe about to go over a waterfall. Great podcast fodder.
Yes, that means go look it up. I don't know who that guy is. I've never heard of his name before because there's like 35,000 of them. But, yes, it's not bad. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So Cardi B is indicted with two felonies.
Yes, this goes back to the thing that happened
a while ago, right?
Yeah, last year. Where she got into, or did or did not, it looks like.
Got in the fight. That was the one when she got in the fight with, what's the other fake woman's name?
Nicki Minaj,
there we go.
In a New York bar where, according to the indictment, it's related to...
To be indicted.
The intent to cause serious physical injury from Cardi B against two female bartenders.
Oof.
Because I think there was also some words that were exchanged that Cardi B was not privy to. So there's that. I will quote Big Turk here when he says, you can indict a ham sandwich. Or I think he's quoting someone when he says that. It's really easy to indict people. It doesn't necessarily mean it goes anywhere. It's just like a legal step
Except
in the process.
Except you can't indict a sitting U.S. president.
But it's a fairly big legal process nonetheless.
Until he's out, then you can get indicted up the assholes.
If he so much as like... blinks towards the Southern District of New York. Unfortunately, No Name has gotten some pretty severe illness and health issues. It hasn't been more vague than that. But she had a whole like tour planned that No Name is now unable to do because
she canceled. She canceled shows from June through July.
Yeah,
that's wild.
It was a pretty significant, including a show that was going to be in Berkeley. That would have been kind of cool. Mm. And a show in Detroit when about the time that the next debates are. Mm-hmm. So I wish I could have gone to that. So yeah, wish well to her. That can be really derailing to your entire sort of flow. Can you take this away from here? Because I truthfully don't know much about this story. You brought it up.
Okay, so Philippe Zidar, who is a big French producer of house music and different albums, and he's a member of Cassius, who is they're really big in the French, like European house theme, which obviously I've been listening to my whole life. He died at 50 from something kind of wild. He fell out of a window accidentally.
Accidentally,
which I don't know if he was
like... This sounds like mob shit. I was originally kind of cautious because, like, okay, fall out of a window accidentally. That sounds kind of maybe intentional and, like, maybe wasn't the best mental state, but...
You know, if he could have been drunk or he could have slicked something. If you're in a high rise, shit can happen, I guess. Could have been sitting down and oops. But this is very sad because this guy, you don't know much about him, but he's produced a lot of good music over the years. For me, most, like, the biggest work... or my favorite work that he did was Phoenix, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, which came out in, 2009? That was such a damn good album. And he's been an influence in a lot of people's work, especially in house, just electronica stuff in Europe. I mean, a lot of people, like Maddie tweeted, or not tweeted, because he's off of there, on Instagram, said something about it. Scream was just talking to him about it. Roosevelt actually asked about, like, well, he wanted to do a collaboration with him, and he's like, I was kind of fangirling over him, like, joking around, and texted him, oh, can I do a thing? And Philippe was like, yeah, actually, I want to do something with you. And this was just like a week ago, and then he passed away. So they're all pretty upset about it. So those are pretty big names talking about how good this guy is. So now you know, like, kind of the hit he had. So you don't know around that scene. But it's big revolutionary in the house world and in electronica. And he's produced a lot of good music over the years. So very sad to hear that. And kind of a freak death accident. I don't know much anymore. There hasn't been any updates or anything so far. But if there is, I'll let y'all know.
Definitely really sad to hear. Hoping the best for his next of kin.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's move on to Two Door Cinema Club. They released an album called False Alarm this week. It is 12 songs long and 47 minutes long-ish, because they included two single edits of some of the songs. So you can cut that down to like about 40 minutes.
So it's like the audio phase. Perfect.
Pretty much every album we've been reviewing, like proper this, album this has been.
Especially this week, everything has been, or sorry, well, month. It's been on point.
Almost everything. I think there was one last week that went to like 57 minutes, but.
That still fucks with 57 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you can fill that time and make it good, then it works. Exactly. Most people know Two Door Cinema Club. Again, this is another like commercial band. Because of the song What You Know.
I mean, they've made a lot of damn good music over the years.
They definitely
What You Know, Something Good Could Work, Undercover Martin, they've made a lot of good music. But those are kind of the tracks that people will know because they'll be played in commercials or other things. But, like, they were very big in indie. They were one of the big, like, acts to come into the mainstream out of the indie scene itself, but kind of stay true to themselves as artists. Because a lot of other artists who come out of that indie kind of, you know, they hit a mark, they sign a deal, and then sell out hard. Cough, cough. Like, 30 different artists, but I won't go there because that'll make me mad.
Later.
This, though, is fucking good. Holy shit, this is a really good album.
I was pretty pleased with this.
There's a couple songs that actually reminded... Well, there's two... these two albums, the next album we'll get after this. Something that I've noticed in the alternative slash indie scene is they're having a big 80s comeback in a way. They're doing a lot of 80s themes, 80s sounds, which I absolutely love. And they've did that in this one. And there's a couple songs that remind me of Gorillaz tracks as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yes.
This, so I can't remember which one it is.
To me, it's Satisfaction Guaranteed.
Satisfaction
which
Guaranteed.
Reminds me, like, they just like made Lake Zurich better. Like, they just completely
improved it.
They added lyrics. They honestly changed the flow of the instrumentation.
Was it so many people that at, like, the last minute just had somebody speaking over the track and it sounded like something Gorillaz would make?
I feel like
I can't remember which track it was. Once and Talk are kind of good, like, true indie hits, but with a little twist on it as well. This is the problem we had with Silverstone Pickups. As much as I do like that album, I wanted a little more variation, a little more tone, a little more experimentation, and Two Door Cinema Club fucking did that throughout this entire album. I absolutely love this, top to bottom. Every song flows. It has a theme of kind of like the, like, it's similar to Vampire Weekend, where it's optimistic outlook of life, which is a nice change in a way. And everything's upbeat, it flows. There's not a song that's out of place. I don't know why they put the single edits in the album. I don't know if that's just the Spotify, what's on there, because the same thing on Hot Chips album, but we'll get to that in a second.
I mean, that's... I think it just might be like a label thing, because I've seen some bands in various times, just in history, really. Like, I make it seem like storied history, but even like in the past 10, 15 years that I've been paying attention, where they put the single edits on the album, or in the streaming time, they'll just put the singles like separately as singles, but the album version will just be the clean album. There, I don't know why you do it, there's no real reason to.
Exactly.
Maybe there's some logistical money reason it makes sense, but nevertheless, it's there. And I review when I guess it's worth repeating again that when I'm reviewing an album, I listen to the album version, and I only listen to the album version within the album to kind of get an idea of what they were going for with that, just kind of vaguely. But I have to say, this has one of the best album enders I've heard in a while. Already Gone.
Already going to
the
banger.
Only thing I hate about it, is that purposely they make it end super abruptly.
I like that because I guess I'm kind of used to it. Most Death did that a lot.
Yeah,
I like it if it abrupts. Ends abruptly because it's just kind of fun. It felt like it, that theme. I like that because it's the theme of the album is kind of silly. It's different.
Yeah, Two Dope Cinema Club has always been an upbeat, fast band, and I definitely appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that Gorillaz is influencing artists now. It's very clear in this generation of musicians, and yeah, they thoroughly did a really good job here. I'm definitely pleased. I would put a couple of these songs made it into the Audioface Song of the Summer playlist, which will be releasing soon, and this is going to be like one of the Album of the Year contenders.
Definitely.
It's really clean.
It's a solid album. This is a good Mohammed Momin. This is a solid Mohammed Momin.
Ooh, I was about to choose Mohammed Momin, actually. He's a good one.
He's a good one because he's a member of the Assembly of Experts, whatever the fuck that means. He's an expert on members, so that's what to do.
They're a deliberative body empowered to designate and dismiss the supreme leader of Iran.
Oh, shit, they've got power.
They've got a little bit of power. Ooh. I mean, like, in theory, on paper.
On paper, but, you know, Hassan has got all the fucking power in that bitch. But...
I'm going to go with Reza Ostadi Mogadam. He is also on the Assembly of Experts, and he's also on the Expediency Discernment Council, which sounds very important. The Two Door Cinema Club definitely deserves this because they, just...
Made a banger.
It's absolutely great. I'm going to be listening the fuck out of this for the summer and for some time to come.
Steph Curry had to turn down a role in Space Jam 2. Steph Curry for the No Little Bitch role? He was offered a role, but I guess his scheduling issues, whatever that means. The only reason why I give Steph Curry a pass is because he's a big-time golfer, and he's played on Web.com tour events as an exemption, and he shot, like, in the low 70s. If you know golf, that's pretty fucking good. So that's the only reason why I'm giving him a pass on Space Jam 2. That's it.
Yeah, he said the timing of it... part of it was in terms of things I had going on. It was just the timing, to be honest, not being able to commit, knowing some of the people behind it really well. He said it was really hard to turn down. So it doesn't seem like he wanted
to. No, he didn't want to. But I mean, if he's already have prior commitments and stuff too, it makes sense because he's a busy ass man.
But dude, this is Space Jam.
Space Jam. Come on, man. Michael Jordan's territory.
This
right
is
there.
Space Jam. this is history being made here.
Yes. History.
YouTube is giving your favorite old music videos an HD makeover. YouTube is going to be working with Universal Music Group to kind of restore
and remaster. Just don't burn down your
building. Jesus. Don't store any... Apparently these original recordings that they're going to be using to restore weren't burned down.
Jesus
Christ. But they're going to be remastered so that you can... The idea is that you don't lose the quality if you watch it on a 60-inch TV.
Yeah, right? Because the problem with what YouTube started, I think it went public in
2005, 2006.
Okay, so I remember using it in 2006. And the videos then were 480p. Like, that's the highest you can
get. No. I remember, like, 360. Like, I didn't even show you the numbers back then, but it was essentially 360p.
And so some of the music videos that were released then, like a lot of the stuff from Muse, let's see, Coldplay. I'm trying to think of the bands off the top of my head that did music videos.
Yeah.
We had a couple like
Gorillaz does a lot of attention to detail with their visuals. So they already did this.
Yeah, Gorillaz are fine. The Killers had a couple music videos. I think I
Beck for sure has Beck a bunch sure. of music videos that I don't know will be covered by UMG, but like
yeah, is he on UMG?
I don't know, but I know that there are a lot of music videos that. Don't have.
I know the Killers are definitely on Universal.
They just don't really look good on our like yeah, nice especially big 4K on 4K screens.
Yeah,
like
on newer technology. So I actually like that because I have a lot of problems with YouTube, but that's kind of cool. So good job, YouTube. You did something good for once. Clap, clap, clap.
Yeah, wonderful. And now we're going to talk about Hot Chip because they released
A Bath Full of Ecstasy, which is 12.
Not literally.
Not literally.
It's the name of the album.
It's the name of the album.
Don't get excited.
GHB out here. 12 songs, 58 minutes long. But again, it's like two discs where it has... Disc two is edits of three songs. So there's technically nine songs make it 45 minutes long.
Yeah,
so.
And let me beef with Spotify's interface here.
Yes.
Because you can't even tell that it's two discs on a lot of the versions of Spotify's interface.
Yeah.
On mobile and on like web.
But mine it does.
But on, like, if you have it on desktop, then you'll be able
yeah,
to see
exactly.
it. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's... weird, but whatever. Yeah, the edits are obviously condensed versions for the radio, because mm-hmm. that's a thing. That have to be under like 3.5 minutes. Usually Hot Chip songs, because a lot of their earlier stuff was like definitely poppy, but rooted in electronic and techno.
Yeah, like indie stuff too. They're very expansive. Hot Chip are interesting, because they have a very... wide range of music. But all I know is they made my favorite album so far of 2019. That's all I can say.
Wow. Okay. That's a
so far.
Moment.
So far. I just want to hear you talk, and then I'm go in.
I'm trying to think of a song that people would know before from Hot Chip.
Oh, from Hot Chip?
Boy from School.
I would say Boy for School, maybe. A lot of it's going to be from the 2006 album.
Yeah.
I can't think of the title. The Warning, because that album was very good, and that'll be on like different playlists and stuff, because it pops up on a wide like plethora of music if
right.
you listen to music, which I hope you do.
Yes,
because then your life is meaningful.
So, you said that this might be the best album of the year that you've heard so
yes.
far
yes.
for you. This album definitely tested a lot of my patience. This is going to be very interesting to talk about. Definitely, like, through Melody of Love and Spell and Bathful Ecstasy, you kind of, like, the first three songs, you will start to understand very clearly that this is an album that's about love, but I think also in a way that it's a Bathful of Ecstasy. It's, like, the rush of those feelings kind of coming at you. And that's comes out in these songs, what's said lyrically and in the instrumentation of it. But because of that, it can do this thing that's like sonically overwhelming when it's doing bliss points that I've always just sort of not liked, that you can either go either way on. But it's something that you like a lot in music. So like it can go either way for people, I think. I started to turn back on the album because at that point I felt like Hot Chip had just done a Foster the People thing and had just gone too poppy, where I tried to overpop their sound. But once I got to Echo, they started to win me back a little bit. I felt like that was just a really solidly produced song that goes back to kind of like Hot Chip's bread and butter and what they sounded like. You demand the truth I never have explored. Reignite a flame I'm trying to ignore. And then when you get into Hungry Child, I think that's probably my favorite song on the album
Very
still. It holds up on its own. I think that's the peak for me. And then the rest, they're like standard-ish Hot Chip fare. I'd say interesting and fine, but I didn't come away listening to this album the first time particularly impressed and almost not even that pleased. I was just like, okay, I kind of expected better from Hot Chip almost. I did listen to it a second time, and I liked it better the second time I listened to it then the first time. I think because of the, I guess it took me a while to accept the sound more a little bit. And then I got to enjoy the latter half of the album a little bit more, especially with Clear Blue Skies and No God. I think No God's a really cool ending too.
It's once very, we're not talking about
albums that have good enders, especially with the previous one. So,
No God's a very good track.
I definitely had really mixed opinions about it, but it's leaning positive because on my second listen, I did come away from it with an improved view of it. And looking at this kind of in a vacuum of, looking at this album in a vacuum of what it's trying to accomplish as a concept album, A Bath Full of Ecstasy being a exploration of love almost intensely, almost overwhelmingly, is kind of the point in that I see. So I'll give them credit to doing that and executing it all right, if not as well as I had wished. But Sean, what are your thoughts?
So if New Order decided to make music,
again,
like they never, well, I mean, they do. So if New Order never existed, but decided to pop up in 2019, this is what they would make. Deadass. It has the only, there's only one gripe I have, and that's Spell, which is the second song, kind of drones on a little while. But the rest of the tracks, if you've heard the track Tutti Frutti from New Order, which was in their latest album in 2016, if I recall correctly, that's kind of the theme of it, where it's this 80 house funk theme throughout the entire album. And it is fucking incredible. I love it. It is my favorite genre, which is combining house with a different, like electronic stuff and not make it a pop. It doesn't sound poppy to me, which is why I don't know why you did it to Foster the People, because Foster the People use trap snare on almost every single track on their album, and that's why I'm deemed them the demons of hell, and they have their 18th circle of hell to stay in and need to go home and rethink their life about 30,000 times.
For me,
times.
It was because the instrumentation just kind of fell into the, like, all of the melodies were just pop melodies. Whereas Hot Chip in the past used to be a little more exploratory with the sounds they chose to put together and collect into a piece.
It's not pop melodies, they're all house. The bass, the electronics in it and everything, house.
Okay, but like the notes they selected are like the typical like pop melodies, if that makes sense.
Okay, what type of pop? Because it's not like Troye Sivan, it's not like Ariana Grande, it's not stuff like that.
I mean, like if you were to set it out like, oh, it goes in a major like key in this sort of way. Like it does those things that to me, oh, I noticed this in pop because this is what pop does. Maybe I'm definitely not explaining this well, but, and we can move on from it because I'm not going to really explain it much better. But
yeah.
The predictability of pop that I didn't used to get from Hot Chip albums, I felt a little bit more here.
Well, the predictability, that's a problem of house genre. That's more of a thing of, that's just something I like. I've liked the predictability of house in that way because it won't go too wild. But the thing is with them is the vocals that they put in it accompanies the instrumentation very well. So it's pleasing to the ear. The themes are okay. I'm not a big one on making an entire album of love because I think it's overdone a little bit, but
Taylor Swift's got a new album coming out.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck that bitch.
Speaking of which.
Fuck this bitch. This is Russia. But No God is a very, very good track. The entire theme of that whole song, it surprised me. I have to look up the lyrics and see what the real interpretation of it is, but you can interpret it two ways. Of No God as in somebody you love, or No God as in you're literally searching for a God, and you can hear it into the lyrics and the instrumentation of itself. I really much enjoyed this. I think it sounds like a modern day New Order. With that combining, I guess you could say, because New Order is poppy, but experimental poppy, blending dance music genres in it. And that's something that they did in this album. And I very much enjoyed it, top to bottom. has a clear theme. Every song connects together long. There's only one song, which is Spell, which is a very good track. But about 5 minutes into it, it had a minute longer. I'm like, okay, you can kind of speed it up. Baffle of Ecstasy and Echo kind of pick up the theme a little bit more, pick it up, get some more dance beats to it. And then Hungry Child's great. Positive is a decent track. Why Does My Mind, Clear Blue Skies, and No God are fantastic as a ending, because it's, again, the nice house beat, the pop, I won't say pop, but the dance theme to end an album and make it happy, basically. So yeah, that's a nice thing. The month of June has been more happier for album releases, because then next we're going to get Thom Yorke's Dystopia album of This Is the Earth, Fuck Everything, Move to Mars. So I'm going to take everything as I can get now until I want to cry and slip my wrist, but it is Thom Yorke, so I'll probably give him Album of the Year anyways. But fantastic album. Have a listen through it and want to hear what y'all say about it, because we have very different opinions, but that's why we have a podcast. So I got to figure out
discuss our ideas.
Never mind. I'm not going to say that.
I'm going to go with Morteza Saduki Mazandarani.
I was literally going to go with some long-ass name too, but that works.
He studied in the seminaries of Qom, Iran, under Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Ali Araki. And he was... That person was an Iranian revolutionary.
Ooh.
So
I'm just going to go Mir Ebraddin Saeed Hatami, because his name is like a lot of scribbles and it's pretty chill. I don't know anything about him, but he is a member of the Assembly of Experts, and he's a member of 3rd and 4th Assembly of Experts in Iran, which I think ousted a president, I believe. And then all the rest I can't read because it's all in Arabic, so I'm saying cool, good dude, allegedly.
Sounds good. Hope they didn't do anything.
Hope they didn't stone some women.
In today's edition of Facebook, literally can't do Facebook, right? Facebook had to apologize after removing the album cover for Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy,
which literally is a holy album of God. Houses of the Holy is an amazing album, by the way. But because Facebook is Facebook, they had a... God, fucking Zuckerberg.
They have a complete, like, ban on nudity, so they couldn't show the album cover. But, of course, Facebook's bans are dumb and ridiculous. Because there's an article done by Casey Newton that was built off of work and research done by someone named Sarah T. Roberts and a bunch of other people about how shitty content moderation is on the internet. And
you're
how
Facebook, telling me.
And how Facebook and YouTube essentially don't do content.
And people want them to regulate everything. A bunch of idiots in Silicon Valley.
No, but get this. They don't. It's not even the idiots in Silicon Valley who are doing the regulating, because they decided to contract out other companies to do the moderating for them. So you have people making like below $35,000 a year in like shitty working conditions, worse than Amazon factories almost. In random parts of the country, like New Mexico and Florida and all this other stuff. They are making all these decisions based on what they think policy is. But it's a bad system because neo-Nazi stuff gets allowed on the platform and Led Zeppelin covers aren't allowed on the platform.
It's a mess. But that does the album disservice, because that is one of my favorite Zeppelin albums. Zeppelin 4 is still probably my favorite, because Battle of Evermore is on my top 10 songs, favorite songs of all time ever made by God bless Jesus himself.
Oh, we gotta do a Led Zeppelin episode.
We have never actually...
We've never just talked about Led Zeppelin.
We've never talked about Zeppelin. I don't know why we have an audio face, but they're like the Beatles, where there's a couple bands, right? I'm going on a tangent, but fuck, it's on your face. There are about five bands in the world that make it four. That have never made a bad music. Like, they just can't make bad music. They've tried, but they can't make bad music. Zeppelin's one of them. Beatles are second, Radiohead are third, and then the fourth you can kind of go between a bunch of different artists.
Yeah.
But there's a pretty solid three for sure that no matter what, all of them is individual artists make damn good music. No matter if they sneeze, it's music.
Yeah.
Zeppelin was one of the very first ones. The Beatles are second.
All of them are white people. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying.
All of them British.
Bigger skulls.
Okay, but I was gonna say all of them are English, which is gonna toot your horn a little bit.
Inbred Germans.
Hey. Germans made music, okay? Johann Sebastian Bach made music. Not of Mozart, Liszt, and Beethoven.
I'm pretty sure the, I was gonna get all historical and start.
Oh, yeah, I'm not gonna talk about fucking Neanderthals hitting sticks over each other's dead homies.
Mesopotamia.
It's rough. Anyways, so we have the Racketeers.
The Racketeers.
Racketeers. I can never.
Not Racketeers.
I make fun of it because it's a word. It's one of the many words in English language. If it's an English language word that I can't say right because fuck English, so I've never said it right.
I'm pretty sure it's French.
No, well, that fucking probably why. I don't know. Jack White's band.
Yes.
12 songs long, 41 minutes. Again.
Help Us, Stranger.
Help Us, Stranger. It has a little hand, and it reminds me of the Radiohead logo of two people meeting, shaking their hands, which I still want tattooed right here.
Yeah, so it reminds you, Sean's, I love when Sean gets into tattoo conversations, because we can finally, like, make him seem almost like a degenerate.
But the problem is I have to take 3 weeks out of being a pool.
Yeah.
That's the problem why I haven't. I would have gotten it about 2 years ago, but I work in a pool.
So. And so the Benz has like the two characters meeting and shaking hands. Help a Stranger, and there's a song called Help Me Stranger, so I need to make them different. Help Us Stranger is the album. And the whole album has the aesthetic of the crosswalk hand.
Which I love that fucking aesthetic.
And the walking thing. Mm-hmm. With Spotify, each song has its own little animation with it. I think it's really good because you can do a lot with the animations.
Yeah.
Really good design, I'll just say.
I want you to go first because I really want to hear what you say about
it. You want me to go first?
Absolutely. I'm interested to see what you say.
So with Raconteur's album, my favorite Raconteur's album is still Broken Boy Soldiers.
100%.
I don't think it was...
No contest.
Far from perfect, but... Very close to perfect.
Yeah, it's a damn good album.
God, I'm looking back and I just forgot how much I loved on here. From like Steady As She Goes to Broken Boy Soldier. Of course, Store Bought Bones is the really popular one.
Steady As She Goes is too. Those are the two songs.
Yeah. Your friends have shown a kink in the single life. You've had too much to think, now you need a wife.
Anybody will know a Racketeer song because of that, those two tracks, for sure. And here's a side note before we go into the album review, is we had Jack White's album last year, and we both fucking hated it.
Absolutely. Jack White's solo album just felt like, for lack of a better term, just like schizophrenic. It was all over the place.
Schizophrenic, to say the least.
Actually, yes. Like, you reserve the phrase schizophrenic as a, like, description for music for Jack White, because it was, like, the most extreme example.
I love that word, schizophrenic. I use it a lot, by the way. I love that word.
I don't like to use it too much as a pejorative for people who are actually schizophrenic, but like it's
a good description.
I'm trying to think back. There have been some albums that felt disjointed, like some trap albums here and there. That The Voids thing that did by Julian Casablancas, like his side band project thing. That all felt a little bit disjointed, but Jack White's solo album was all over the place. So,
but The Racketeers is their first album in 11 years.
Really?
I think the last one was in 08, dude. Yeah. Consoles of the Lonely was 08.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's been a fucking minute.
All right. Okay. All good.
But I think it was worth every minute. But You go into it. I've been wanting to hear your...
Yeah. Let me go into it. So...
Dives in, baby.
God. I guess what I was saying with the old Raconteurs is that when it felt like it missed up, it just felt like... it was leaning into its rock sound a little bit too much. And by that I mean...
album?
I mean like the Raconteurs.
Oh, just in general. Okay, definitely.
They would just lean into it too much, where it's like, okay, now this riff just kind of seems aimless or doesn't seem to have much of a point to it. It felt like that in the first album sometimes. So I was kind of expecting or fearing that from here, but not really. Everything is very cleaned up and has a point to it. Every song has just so much fun and meaning and emotion in it. I don't even know where the hell to start. I want to even start from the beginning, but like, I think, God, wow, Don't Bother Me, Only Child, those two just come in ringing and on fire, and it's just so energetic. Hey, Jip, I don't think you can say that anymore, Dig the Slowness, is a really, really fun song. really don't know why they picked that name. Some days I don't feel like trying. Is it?
That's a good. That's a very good track. I like it a lot.
Lyrically stunning.
Lyrically beautiful.
Yeah, they just pack so many different cool ideas.
The main thing I like, and this is something that I've loved with Jack White's music, and the problem I had with this album before is he's very good at blending old with new.
Yes.
He's a huge, he's a big rock and roll fan, but he goes deep into blues, into like old time African American rock, you know, the bitons of stuff that you can't fucking find anymore.
Folk and Americana, little inspirational bits here and there, but nothing ever feels overpowering or overdone. Like it all just comes together in like a symphony of rock bliss.
And for the Help Me Stranger, the second track, there's a little thing where he's done this before with the microphone where he does a little filter and it sounds like an old-timey 50s microphone, and then it kind of goes into a song that is modern and kind of new rock in a way. And this is something that we talk about Led Zeppelin did this a lot, where they would start off a song like kind of the microphone would be away or it'd be rotating or something like that to get kind of effect, and they did that track, and it's one of my favorite rock tracks, I don't know, since I can remember, the kind of modern rock in a while. Help Me Stranger, very very good track. I love this album. I was kind of worried because we had that Rock Is Dead discussion, and we've had some good stuff like sort of some pickups. So I'm like, okay, we're starting to get back on the track. Let's see what happens.
When we had that discussion, we sent out like a radio wave into the world. There's like the bat signal for all artists to take that as a challenge.
And holy shit, they spent a year putting it together. One of my favorite episodes of Audio Face for listening to music, because all the four albums, one I was surprised about, Lil Nas X. Two Door Cinema Club maybe made one of the albums of the fucking year. Hot Chip won't make the album of the year because I know it's kind of specific, but for me, one of my favorites. And then the Rock and Tours, just what the hell? This is one of the best music.
Rock and Tours is like a meteor. Like it's just seriously? Like hits and it's amazing.
It's such a damn good album.
It's truthfully difficult. Like I was stumbling earlier to pick, like usually I kind of like pick songs to like emphasize and like point out like what point in this album did I really get it? Did I really enjoy what was happening? All of it, about equally. Mm-hmm. Usually I want to like visualize almost like a chart in my head, and I've described this in some like early Audio Face episodes of how I review albums, of like, what feeling do I leave with coming off of the album, and do I mostly come off with like good feelings, and how stable is that like chart over time?
Yeah.
It's like topping out. This is great.
Yeah, I really like also Some Days I Don't Feel Like Trying, because it's a good track of saying, like, there are days when you're a musician or just someone, you know, general life, where you just feel like giving up, where you're like, okay, I need a day to myself and stuff like that. And it was one of those. It's a good album. It's very good. Listen to it. It was worth 11 years. All right, which fucking Iranian are you doing today?
I'm going all in. I'm going for the Grand Ayatollah.
God damn it, I was gonna do the Grand Ayatollah.
The Grand Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini.
I'm gonna do the Grand Ayatollah too, because
the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yep. Inshallah.
Yeah, Inshallah. The man himself who we have no idea how much money he has. It's kinda like the crown Saudi prince. We have no idea how much money he has. Does he have $1 billion? Maybe he has $8 trillion.
Maybe he has $11 trillion.
All I know is that he doesn't have enriched nukes, so he can't have a Chernobyl incident. So
yeah, all I know is Iran would not be a boom and zoom. Like Donald Trump, I know you listen to Audio Face. Iran would not be a boom and zoom. That would take a lot of time, and we don't do it.
I'll be team Iran, baby.
Can I buy puts on the U.S. military? Can I buy
puts on the U.S. military?
we love the troops.
Yeah, deadass. We really do. It's just, we hate politicians that send troops to go into harm's way for no fucking reason.
Absolutely.
And to get people killed for no reason.
#NoPolitics.
Because the troops are brave young men and women that shouldn't have to go in harm's way for no reason. There you go. Sorry, I had to put that out there. Anyway. Notorious B.I.G. I was about to say B.I. Gigs because I can't speak English. Notorious B.I.G.'s juicy one-room shack is available to rent for $4,000 a month in New York. Yeah. Fox News fucking talked about this, by the way, and this was the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Oh,
because they're like $4,000. That's a steal. Deadass, they did that. And I'm just sitting there like, am I hearing this correctly?
$4,000.
Granted, it is in New York, but still.
Yeah, I mean, like, four...
But
like,
it's in Brooklyn.
Like, I mean, it's in Brooklyn.
Also, it's 972 square feet.
Yeah, so...
It's half the size of my house.
So for the record, this is a really good, actually, priced thing. It's not being novelty priced, so just because it's a biggie spot doesn't mean, like, it has some huge value on it. It's in a currently gentrified...
Rent and price B.I.G., though.
It's in a currently gentrifying neighborhood of the area, kind of like Bed-Stuy is, to where half of it's still kind of, like...
Fucked up.
Hasn't been changed, but half of it's, like, still... in the process of changing. It's been remodeled since then, but yeah.
Ain't no gentrifying us if we're finna buy the hotel.
This is the, for those of us who understand what we're talking about, in Biggie's song Juicy, he raps about his one-room shack, and it's his original apartment that is located at 226 St. James Place. Right between Gates and Fulton Street. I know exactly where that is. It's pretty incredible. And lastly, now that we're getting to housing plans and finances and taxes.
DMX is to play a detective in a new film chronicling of a serial killer.
The new film is called Chronicle of a Serial Killer, and he's replacing Michael Madsen, who was going to be playing a character in the film, but he was arrested following a DUI. The Dewey? Got a young Dewey?
Deweys will be the undoing of anybody.
So... Yeah, when apparently the casting or someone who works on it said, when my casting director suggested DMX, it immediately resonated with me as a perfect fit.
So interesting.
DMX the detective. That's incroyable.
Yes.
That's been Audio Face. That was a doozy of an episode.
That was a varied episode.
Some really amazing things. I think we're going to actually talk about these later on in the year for sure. Definitely don't forget, if you've listened this far, to... subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Like and rate the podcast wherever you're listening. That helps us climb rankings and get us heard in more places.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be doing a lot more. I know I've said that a lot over the past 100 episodes, but we really mean it this time. We're going to be doing a lot more on our Twitter and Instagram pages, which are both at AudioFacePod. So make sure you're following those. And content-wise, in the podcast, we have the Black Keys bonus episode coming up soon. And a super... extravaganza end of June episode next week with the Black Keys, Tom York, Freddie Gibbs.
Sir Thomas York himself.
It's going
Jesus,
to be good.
Jesus Willie Nelson himself. Tom York.
So, Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez.
If I
can
I trust
be found
you.
On Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Thank you so much for listening and we will talk to you soon. Cheers.
Bye.